Chapter 24. Lord Carver's horse, Cyril, whinnied as Ariane led him across the freshly cut grass toward the rear gardens. The Queen had sent late word requesting that Ariane meet her, Lord Carver, and unnamed others that morning in the outdoors. As a consequence, Ariane had paced nearly the whole night through, anxiously trying to script words she could say to help the disgraced Lord Carver. To see one who had helped her so much endure such abuse tore at her heart, and not until she had excused herself from the ball early and returned to her apartments had she let her feelings flow. Her swift departure had upset an amorous Eutychus, who had mistaken her tender feelings as some sort of encouragement to him. Only after she had shed her tears had she realized how Lord Carver's exposure and public divorce might, one day, prove a blessing. At last, she could treat him as an equal, and with openness and honesty, without needing to tiptoe around his past or his disguise. On the other hand, she pitied him. The lips of Bittermarch carried his name everywhere, and not in a positive way. His return deeply shamed Emile, something Lord Carver had desperately tried to prevent, despite how awful she was. Ariane still couldn't fathom how he could care about Emile's feelings when she despised him as badly as fire did water. Clearly, neither one could truly live in the presence of the other. In the end, she couldn't find words, but she had found something else. If Saunders was right about Lord Carver's affections for his old steed, the horse would at the very least be a welcome gift. She had purchased the animal from Emile shortly before the day of Burning Ball, and had intended to send it back to Saunders in Hightower until such time as Lord Carver visited again. She had intended to gift it to him in thanks for all he had done, and confess that she knew who he was. But his identity was out now, and the time for the gift had come. The soft morning light brought a feral spark to the horse's eyes. Orange rays from the early sun tinted everything with warmth, and highlighted the insects and spores wafting in a breeze alive with a chorus of birds. Ariane soaked it in, hoping she could radiate such brightness and life when she spoke with Lord Carver. As she rounded a tall hedgerow, she found him. Lord Carver sat lifelessly on a wide tree stump wearing clothes for travelling. His head hung down, and he held his round leather hat lifelessly in his hands. The carving bag sat nearby, fresh wood shavings on the grass beneath his feet. His thoughts so absorbed him that he failed to notice their approach until they were nearly upon him. Surprised, he shot up like a bolt, face pained. "Lady Hightower," he said softly, eyes down in shame. "I had not expected you. The Queen told me to meet her here at 8 this morning."
"And I as well. How are you, Lord Carver?"
Her heart threatened to break at the agony mapped so plainly in his sad eyes. How could she heal him as he had done for her?
"I can hardly say. Now you have discovered that I am a fraud and a coward."
He steeled himself and lifted his eyes to hers.
"I truly regret having deprived you first of your husband, and now of any good opinion of me. I swear by the eternal flame that I never wished to cause you pain, Lady Hightower, and I regret what I have done."
She reached out and rubbed his smooth cheek, hunting for anything to say.
"I always thought you would look better clean-shaven."
His eyes registered confusion at her odd response. She sat on the stump, holding the reins of the horse in her hand.
"I should confess to you, Lord Carver, that I've known who you are since the day after the events at Harwickshire. The Queen has known since she first laid eyes on you in disguise, so while I have worn black today to mourn the loss of my good friend, Mr. Harper, I am delighted to finally be able to speak with you without any pretense between us. That has worn grievously upon me these past weeks."
His forehead scrunched together.
"How can you look on me and not feel loathing?" he asked, taking a seat next to her on the stump. "Oh, how I loathe myself. I have always prided myself on my sensibility, but 3 times now I have committed errors so incalculably thoughtless that I question what sort of man I really am."
Ariane reached over and put her hand on his arm.
"I know you better than you think. I have talked with Mr. Saunders and Miss Morshire. I have seen your generous, courageous manner for myself, and yes, I have spent time with Lady Ironhorn. I don't wish to anger you, but she is a monster that has never had a tender feeling for you in her life. She used you cruelly. While your desire to shield her from embarrassment does you credit, and while few people truly understand why you acted as you did, I know the truth. I am and will always be proud to call you a friend." He remained silent for a few moments, face thoughtful.
You are too kind, Lady Hightower.
Too kind for your own good. You must distance yourself from me. I would rue what I've done, all the more if my mistakes hurt you or your good reputation. Don't let my shadow overcast your good life. I couldn't bear it.
No, Lord Carver, she said. You have brought nothing but joy to my sister and me, and we will support you however we can. You have friends, whether you see it or not. In fact, you seem so blind this morning that you failed to notice that I have brought an old friend to you.
He looked at her questioningly, and then at the horse, realization dawning.
Sarrel? He said, doubting at first. That's impossible. But it is.
He rose and patted its neck, his face lightening with the first pleasant expression she had seen from him that morning.
How are you, old boy?
The horse whickered in response, and Ariane smiled. Here was an old bond renewed, a simple connection that he needed as desperately as she had needed his care a few days earlier. Her heart rejoiced in her success. She stood and rubbed Cyril's nose while Davin looked him over nose to tail, too overcome to speak. He approached her, face full of wonderment, and embraced her warmly. She closed her eyes and pulled him in tightly, happily soaking in his gratitude. When he pulled away, he turned toward the horse to conceal his effort to clear his eyes of tears.
This is the best gift, Lady Hightower. How could you have known?
I heard that Lady Carver was using your beloved horse to pull carriages. I got my information from one Mr. Saunders, whom I recently hired as my new steward.
His eyes widened.
You can't be serious. I don't think you know what you've done. He'll keep your house in order, to be sure, but he's a bit of a rough character. I don't wish to speak ill of him. I owe that old soldier a great deal. He helped me get Frostborn on its feet in my younger days and taught me how to be a man, though I can't endorse all of his habits.
That he worked for you was recommendation enough for me, she explained. And if he helped you become the man you are, then he is welcome indeed. How do you think he'll take your return from the dead?
With a great deal of coarse language, I'm afraid.
Lord Carver returned to the stump, letting Cyril gnaw on some nearby grass.
What a mess this is. You have been the only bright spot in this whole wretched affair, Lady Hightower, and I thank you for it. I must admonish you, however, to heed my earlier advice. If your peers choose to abuse me, let them do it. Under no circumstances offer any defence in my behalf, or attach your name to mine in any—
She interrupted him by sitting down and leaning rather forwardly against him.
As you so appropriately reminded me a few days ago, Lord Carver, I am a Viscountess, and I will behave as I see fit. So you can keep your admonitions to yourself. This will all die down in time, you'll see. At some point, Emile will be exposed for what she is, and while people may see your method of ending your marriage as unorthodox, they will, at the very least, understand why you acted as you did.
He shook his head. I am not sure that I fully understand why I acted as I did. I've only been David Harper for a year, and still my old life seems like a distant, horrible dream. I should have confronted my difficulties more directly. But I knew that doing so would have injured Emile, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. She can be a good person, Lady Hightower. She can be agreeable and kind. I failed her expectations. Badly.
While her encounters with Emile Carver had been brief, Ariane had seen nothing of kindness or an agreeable nature in the woman at all. She was certainly eager to please anyone she viewed as consequential. She could only imagine how nauseatingly delightful the disgraced Emile Ironhorn must have acted when her parents thrust her into the life of Baron Carver in an attempt to rush a marriage to cover up her indiscretions.
Did he not understand this? As I said, Emile used you to escape her reputation, and one I am afraid she deserved. You must have learned all of this later.
He nodded.
I did, not long after our marriage. Doesn't it sting you, Lady Hightower? I killed your husband to defend a pretended honour. While I am glad that I afforded Emile the chance to start over, was that chance worth the life of Lord Caunton of Hightower? It was not. It is not fair that he paid for her mistakes, and it's not right that I robbed you of the husband of your youth.
She crouched in front of him and grabbed his hands, forcing him to look at her.
You did precisely what you should have done. My late husband should not have said what he did about Emile, truth notwithstanding. And you behaved toward your fiancée as a gentleman should. Do not reproach yourself, especially not on my account. I do not miss my husband, Lord Carver. I will miss you. You must swear to me faithfully that that you will come to see me at Hightower and visit your old friend Mr. Saunders as soon as the Queen permits it. Do you swear?"
"Lady Hightower, I do you swear it?"
"Yes or no, Lord Carver?"
"Yes, I will."
Satisfied, she released him and returned to admire the horse.
"Very good.
You help him remember, Cyril." She patted his flanks. He was a fine beast, dark and powerful. "I'll have you speak with my horses, so they can help you learn the way."
The horse regarded her briefly and then dipped its head to chew the Queen's grass. Lord Carver watched her, face soft but puzzled. He still didn't understand her regard for him. What else could she do to convince him? She had a few ideas, none of them very appropriate, but hadn't he embraced her rather forwardly? While gratitude, rather than passion, motivated his affections, she wanted to show some gratitude too.
"Since we are apparently left to our own devices, Lord Carver, shall we take a stroll about the garden?"
"I would like that," he agreed.
She grabbed one of his arms, even though he hadn't offered it. A lot could happen on a stroll. Queen Philippa stared out the windows, watching the two subjects of her little experiment talk to each other in the morning sunshine. She quite purposefully lied to them both and sent them into the garden at 8, knowing full well that the Duke of Longford would keep her long past that time with his concerns. She hoped the venerable lord didn't try to discern why she spent most of her time gazing to the gardens below. She knew exactly why he had requested a meeting with her, but he had as yet not come to the point.
"And I must say," the iron-haired Duke continued, "that this business with Lord Carver is most unfortunate. How is it that he escaped your discernment?"
Ariane had just arrived with the horse and stood wonderfully close to Lord Carver. This was going just as she had intended. She focused her eyes back on the Duke.
"My discernment is hardly omnipotence, Duke Longford. How much attention do you pay to your clerks?"
Lord Longford was a powerful man, the epitome of a gentleman, and everyone naturally and incorrectly calculated that she would choose him as her successor. He leaned back on the couch, relaxing his flawless posture.
"Not much, though I dare say we are all paying a little more attention now after the Aid Society plot. How did you come to ferret out Lord Carver's true identity at last?"
"I had personally commissioned him to oversee certain matters, and closer association with him eventually allowed me to see him for who he really was. I am surprised Lady Hightower didn't figure it out first. She saw him on a number of occasions as well."
Davin and Ariane sat on the stump, side by side, talking now. The Queen could only imagine how Davin hated himself. Self-doubt and self-reproach were a strong part of his nature, a part the Queen needed tamed. Ariane was her only hope to help fortify him with a little confidence. Exposing Baron Carver brought her no pleasure, but she needed the Lord now, not the clerk. And she needed one with a little iron. Maybe his wounds were too deep.
"Yes," the Duke continued, "that is right. I had almost forgotten that the brute killed Lord Caunton. How Lady Hightower must hate him."
The Queen faced more fully away from the Duke, unable to conceal a grin.
"I am sure she has strong feelings for Lord Carver."
"Undoubtedly," he agreed. "And on the subject of Lady Hightower, I know she is your particular friend, so I wondered if I might speak with you on a matter of some delicacy."
"And here it comes."
"But of course, Duke, you may speak freely."
It appeared that Lord Carver had just figured out that Ariane had purchased his old horse from his very angry ex-wife.
"My son, Eutychus, as I am sure you are aware, is very much interested in the hand of the Lady Hightower. It is a good match, don't you agree?"
Davin had engulfed Ariane in a close embrace. Most unexpected. Ariane didn't appear to mind at all. The Queen wanted to shout for joy, but kept herself calm.
"In terms of politics, certainly, Duke Longford. Two large estates, two families of renown. As for a match of hearts, I really couldn't say. They are both pleasant enough young people."
"They are hardly young any more, my Queen,"
the Duke disagreed.
"Is she not 26?
The two separated and were talking again. The Queen turned briefly back toward Duke Longford.
"I will hardly out a lady's age to anyone, Duke Longford. They are certainly young to me."
"Of course. To the point, then, my son sent a notice that he would announce their betrothal at the day of Burning Ball."
"He did."
"And you are aware that Lady Hightower expressly ordered him not to announce it?"
The Queen peered through the window again. Ariane leaned against Davin as they sat on the stump together.
"Marvellous."
I hope your son explained to you that the proposal was never properly given, and certainly never properly answered.
The Duke appeared taken aback, eyes narrowing.
I had not understood that, are you sure?
Quite sure. The Lady Hightower explained all the particulars to me. Her refusal to honour the announcement angered her parents as well, but she is perfectly within her rights and is a woman who does not tolerate presumption. Your son got a bit carried away with his own notoriety, I fear, and assumed that Lady Hightower would be just as impressed as the rest of the ladies at court who fawned over him so diligently at the ball. I was afraid your son might drown in the adoration.
I will inquire of him more closely as to the particulars, the Duke assured her. But Eutychus fears that Ariane is angry with him, and he is eager to make amends. I might ask if you would speak with Lady Hightower and lend some encouragement to my son's cause. His desire for her hand is genuine and motivated by a sincere affection and regard.
Ariane's hands were occupied with Lord Carver's for the moment. She was pleading earnestly with him about something.
I will speak with her about her hand and what she intends to do with it, the Queen answered vaguely. I am determined, however, to leave matters of the heart to her. She is a dear friend, and I don't wish her to marry against her feelings.
The Duke stood.
I understand, Your Grace, and thank you for your consideration of the matter. I hope to speak with you again soon about my concerns regarding Cretus. The House of Lords is getting nervous about your apparent lack of progress on that front.
The Queen turned fully toward him now and suppressed a snort. Progress? Cretus's bogus accusations of massacre were not the real danger.
Let them know I have things firmly in hand, Duke Longford.
Yes, Your Grace. Good morning.
He left, and the Queen returned to her window, hoping she hadn't missed much. The horse had been let stand to eat the grass while Davin and Ariane walked together in the garden, she having secured one of his arms. What would Duke Longford say if he saw this? Realizing that there would likely be little left of interest to watch, she supposed it time to fetch the Lord High Sheriff and put Davin to work. The ledgers had revealed a few secrets, and some of those secrets involved powerful people, including the one that had just left the room. Cretus slowly and cleverly moved some scheme forward, but the Queen suspected they had a little help from some disgruntled bit of Marchians. The safety of the kingdom was not as secure as she had thought, and if she guessed right, she could completely trust but few. Lord Carver was one. She took one last glance out the window. Ariane stumbled slightly, forcing Lord Carver to put his arm around her waist to steady her until she could recover enough to continue.
An old, old trick, Philippa smiled.
Ariane, at long last, played the game. Philippa had feared the lady had forgotten how, but apparently she had just required the proper motivation. Wrapping a shawl about her shoulders and fetching the clever walking stick, she gathered her guards about her and sent a messenger to fetch the Lord High Sheriff. She walked as quickly as she could. Lord Carver needed to understand the terms of his imprisonment in the Queen's dungeon, and he needed to know that his road would send him into danger. While she doubted he would shrink from the task, she wanted to give him the choice just the same. He also needed to understand what would soon befall Lady Hightower if the matter didn't find a quick resolution. The teeming garden steered her mind toward the more pleasant matter of Davin and Ariane, and when she found them walking near a wall of flowering purple lilacs, Lord Carver's expression was sober. Ariane's doting.
One more expression to change, the more difficult of the two.
Davin and Ariane walked toward Philippa, and she stopped to wait for them. Lord Carver appeared to want to separate himself from the lady's arm, but Ariane hung on too fiercely. They stopped and greeted her.
Thank you both for coming, the Queen said after they had bowed. The Lord High Sheriff will meet us here shortly, but I need a private word with Lord Carver, Ariane, if you can spare him.
For a while, Your Grace, she acquiesced, releasing him.
The Queen led him away, signalling her guard to remain behind with Ariane. These matters were for as few ears as possible. She waited until they were far along the hedge-lined path before speaking.
Seeing the two of you this morning among the flowers makes me feel my age most keenly, Lord Carver. It seems ages ago now that I walked these same paths with King Ostris. Better days, those. He and I had the rare gift of loving one another despite the forced arrangement of our marriage. I have always wanted my friend Lady Hightower to enjoy the same gift.
She deserves it, Lord Carver agreed, eyes distant.
Indeed she does. How do you find the lady now that you've spent some time with her?
The Queen probed.
A most excellent and beautiful woman, he answered tersely,
and a little too disconnectedly for the Queen's liking.
I think so too. She seems fond of you. The Queen glanced up, finding his face looking sick. Not what she had hoped. Does this trouble you, Lord Carver?
She does not seem to understand what associating with me will do to her reputation. I killed her husband. I faked my own death to escape my marriage. I am stripped of my lands and my honour. She should run from me, not befriend me. Perhaps you can explain this to her in a way she will understand. I have failed to impress upon her the weight of the situation.
The Queen chanced to look back, finding Lady Hightower watching them intently.
She won't run from you, Lord Carver, so I suggest you accept her friendship. I know the lady, and she can be stubborn in these matters, but since you invoked the sentence I laid upon you for your crimes, let us turn to it now. Your lands I took as punishment, your honour as a protection for you and for a lord or two that would demand a duel with you, leaving them both dead, most likely. These may be returned to you. The Queen's dungeon is not quite what you expected, I am sure. It is a place for those who have done wrong, but who are simply too useful to lock away. The terms of my dungeon are these. Serve me, and you can spend your days in the sunshine. Choose against me, and you can go to the more traditional dungeon and enjoy poor accommodations and the company of rats. I tailor the terms of release to each of my inmates. Yours are these. You will win back your freedom, your honour, and your estate when you agree to marry Lady Ariane Hightower.
He stopped dead in his tracks, disbelief hindering words.
With all due respect, Your Grace, how could you ask your friend to do such a thing? Do you not value her good standing in society?
Have you informed her of your terms?
I have not, Lord Carver, she returned firmly, and you are not to speak to her of this. You've already won her good opinion. Winning her love should not prove too difficult. Or do you find her repulsive?
Of course not, he said. But that is hardly the point. I am an outlaw, and she is a viscountess.
Brace yourself, Lord Carver.
I'm afraid that brings us to a more serious matter, and the first task I shall lay upon you. If you do not succeed in what I commission you to do, the Lady Hightower will be more of an outlaw than you.
What? He exclaimed.
At last some real passion was rising from the man. He was trembling. The Queen took his arm and dragged him forward, farther from Ariane.
Do keep your voice down, Lord Carver. What I am about to relate you must keep from the lady at all costs. I wish to spare her the pain of this as long as possible. It took little time to comb through the private ledgers you recovered, the missing funds from Hightower being funneled to someone in Longford under the guise of several fake businesses.
How do you know they were fake? He asked. Eyes intense. And even so, Lady Hightower is innocent in these matters.
We managed to capture her steward and her clerk, the Queen answered. Very conveniently, I might add, delivered quite literally to our doorstep. They informed us of the false nature of the entries, and asserted that the Lord and Lady of Hightower were both complicit in sending the funds to Longford. They claimed that the Lady Hightower threatened to frame them for robbing her estate, and they fled.
Lies!
A livid fire sparked in his eyes, arm tensing under her grip. He liked the Lady Hightower more than he let on.
Yes, yes, of course. The problem is that the two wish to press charges against the lady who, they say, sent assassins after them. Their attorneys are quite persistent. But the Lord High Sheriff has agreed to stall for as long as he can. I'm afraid the evidence is against Ariane. No one will believe that she was ignorant of the loss of so much of her estate's wealth. If this goes to trial, she will be in that dungeon with the rats, possibly worse. She might be executed, Lord Carver. There is more.
Say on, he said, voice barely controlled.
The Aid Society plot you uncovered, the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, was not just mishandling the funds. From what the sheriff has been able to gather from a few of the suppliers and warehouse hands, the funds were used to ship weapons and horses to various places in the north in worrisome quantities, though there is no hard evidence as yet to prove it. I think the accounting irregularities in Hightower are related. The Aid Society contributions alone would not be enough to buy weapons in the quantities the warehouse hands described to us. I suspect Hightower funds, perhaps added to others, were used to outfit an army yet unseen.
He nodded, his eyes flint and his face resolute.
Good, I knew he would be the one.
Have you confronted Lord Longford? He asked.
I have no evidence to implicate him in anything, the Queen answered. The ledgers only record the money going to the town of Longford, not the final recipient or the use. I have a hard time believing him ignorant of thousands of pounds pouring into his domain, but if it comes to trial, he'll have nothing with which to worry himself. If I give him advance warning now, I'm sure the evidence I need will vanish. The clerk and the steward from High Tower claimed they have no knowledge of what the funds were for and simply delivered them to a man they knew only as Justice Page. I need your help.
Davin looked back in Ariane's direction.
Anything, Your Grace. I will not allow these scoundrels to sully the lady in this fashion. Not on my life.
The Queen smiled. She knew his feelings now, probably better than he himself did. He loved Ariane Hightower, whether he would admit it or not. The Queen patted his arm.
Good man. The Lord High Sheriff wishes to capture Justice Page as well, but as a favour to me has delayed his own orders to his counterparts in Longford. You will arrive first. I will have you work with two other men who are also serving time in my little dungeon. They are Sir Charles Goodwin and Mr. Landon Kilcreek. I sent word ahead to Longford 2 days ago. They will expect you at the Brawny Maid Tavern. Ask the barkeep for the Queen's Bull Ale, and you will be led to them. Do you understand?
His eyes rested on Ariane.
I will depart immediately.
You need to be properly supplied first. I see you have a horse. The Lord High Sheriff will provide you with any weapons, food, or money that you need. Now, Davin, we must return to Ariane, and convince her all is well. I'll give you a few moments to offer your goodbyes to the lady. You keep your mouth closed about falsified ledgers and nefarious plots. Remember, marry her, and everything will be returned to you.
He declined to comment further about her offer. Stubborn man. For the moment it didn't matter. Keeping Ariane for stepping foot in the dungeon or ending up in the drowning cage was Davin's mission now, and by the look on his face he itched to shoot off to Longford like a bullet in her defence. Philippa led him back toward a curious Ariane, and the Queen smiled to throw her off, fearing Davin's fiery intensity might reveal that something was at stake that concerned her.
Lady Hightower, Philippa said, noting the Lord High Sheriff striding up. Davin will escort you back to your apartments in the palace, where I will come to speak with you shortly. Davin, if you will see the Lord High Sheriff when you are finished. Do not try to pry, Ariane. Lord Carver must prosecute an errand of the utmost importance and secrecy, and he is not to speak of it.
Ariane inclined her head.
As you wish, Your Grace.